brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's Matthew with you very briefly because it's a question of the month episode. As always, we've got lots of brilliant responses in, including possibly the best response we've ever had to one of the questions of the month. And we've had a lot of good ones. So this is really something that's going to raise the bar towards the very end. I'll keep you in suspenders for that. The question of the month for me was quite simply, what are your favourite games or what's your favourite game? You know, that whether it's sort of one to three games that you always find yourself going back to, your kind of default rule set, or, you know, if you're planning a big games day, you know, a big sort of marquee event, like what would be the rule set that you would ideally want on the tabletop? So as always, we've got some really great responses in, and I'm looking forward to listening back through them. So let's not hang about, let's get straight into it.
Hi Matthew, Martin here down in Hampshire, Martin S on the Discord group. Currently I'm quite keen on Dan Mersey's Rampant series, Lion, Dragon and Xenos, but my actual answer to May's question of the month about favourite games would have to be a joint favourite of DBA and its fantasy cousin Hordes of the Things. The core activation and combat mechanisms shared by both are clever and effective, and they produce very engaging games on a small board in under an hour. That means I can get three or four games played in a club night, or sometimes half a dozen or more in a daytime gaming session. Also in their favour is that both rule sets have a low model count. So for DBA, an army usually needs around 50 miniatures. And so multiple armies, all the way from ancient Egypt all the way up to Wars of the Roses, could be collected and painted very quickly. This actually encourages painting, as there's always just one more army you can add without a major outlay in cash or commitment in time. In a similar vein, Hordes of the Things usually involves a low model count and has such all-encompassing troop types within it that it allows the gamer to make almost any army they have the imagination to create, plus being miniatures agnostic is always an added bonus. Anyways, many thanks for the podcasts. Looking forward to hearing a few other folks' choices. Thanks.
Hello, Matthew. It's David M. from the Discord and Fifth Hammer over on YouTube, calling in to answer the May question of the month about what my favorite game is. And if I might be forgiven for borrowing a line from Paul Simon, there's one game I'm still crazy about after all these years. And that game is Warhammer Fantasy, specifically 5th edition. Now, I'm not going to say it's the best game out there or try to convince you that it is. It's not. And anyway, I don't think there is such a thing as a best or perfect game. Indeed, what the perfect game is for one person may not be an enjoyable experience for another. And no one game can do everything well. What we want out of a game determines how we evaluate it. So with that in mind, the game that I keep coming back to after nearly three decades is Warhammer Fantasy 5th Edition. It's a game I love in spite of all its faults, which it most assuredly does have. But I'm going to tell you what I love about it. It's a game set in a deep world. It has rules for trolls stopping to pick their noses on the march, monsters rebelling against their malevolent masters, and cannons exploding in the face of their engineers. Yeah, it's a bit crunchy, but like Captain Crunch, I enjoy a little bit of that. Some of us, oddities like myself, enjoy rolling to hit and then rolling to wound and passing the dice to our opponents to make armor saves. And yes, gasp, even having modifiers when rolling to hit with missile weapons. And the Warhammer world itself has a breadth and depth that is really second to none, providing plenty of storytelling fodder for the type of narrative games that I truly love. Fifth Edition was the last version of the game that Rick Priestley designed before he got bumped up the food chain over at GW, and game design for future editions got handed over to Thomas Piernan. I see it very much as Rick's magnum opus, but it's also one in which he actively invited his players, in the rule book itself no less, to modify, change, adapt, and just mess around with the rules to suit their preferences. I miss the call to use a rule set as a starting point for your own imagination. Warhammer Fantasy is a game that pulls me back whenever I play it to some sunny afternoon in the mid-90s, usually at a friend's house with three or four of us together, Lipton lemon iced teas and pink lemonades around the perimeter of an old wooden table, pushing minis, tossing dice, and arguing about whether the Green Knight was OP or what color dragon was the best dragon. F. Scott Fitzgerald said that we are boats beating against the current, worn back ceaselessly into the past. If he's correct, there is perhaps nothing that reconnects me better with the happy times of my youth than this game. Finally, Warhammer Fantasy is a game that's still telling new stories around my table today. Over the last few years, I've introduced it to friends of mine who never played it back in the halcyon days of the 90s and whose minds are not intoxicated like mine by nostalgia. And somehow, they keep coming back for more. I can only conclude from this that some of its old magic must still be at work, even in a ruthlessly modern world that demands efficiency at all costs. Indeed, my playing with this old warhorse is something of a luxury these days, asking as it does that you set aside an entire afternoon and give it your full attention. But the reward for those who do is to be transported to another time and place, of mighty heroes and sinister villains, monstrous creatures, and malevolent magic, and ultimately to tell a story in a world far away, but not entirely unfamiliar to ours.
Hello. It's Warhammer. 40k second edition on Dungeon Cyber. You surprised? I'm surprised.
Hey, Matthew, this is Ryan, Don Juan Don from the Discord. It is Wednesday, May 28th, so it feels weird to get this in so early, since the deadline's not for at least 36 hours. But, you know, your question of the month for May resonated with me, and I got excited, so here we are. You know, you had asked, what are our favorite games or those rule sets that we always kind of find ourselves coming back to? And, you know, this question resonated with me because I've got two games that I believe fit this criteria for me personally. The first would be Five Parsecs from Home, the sci-fi co-op solo skirmish game put out by Nordic Weasel. I guess it's published by Modiphius, I think, at this point. But it's just a great game that's easy to set up. You know, I like to play it on a smaller board. I actually prefer to play it on a 2x2 board if I'm using 28 millimeter figures, because it, you know, kind of makes the games a little more cramped and a little more interesting. But being a solo/co-op game, it's nice because I can play it by myself. I can play it casually with other people. And they don't necessarily need to know all the rules because we're working together. So, I've played it with my kids and they can describe what they want to do. And then we can talk about, you know, what's that mean in terms of the rules, or hell, sometimes we'll just make something up. But it does a great job of, you know, kind of randomly generating scenarios and allowing you to take your crew, you know, through the scenarios. There are things that happen in between missions, you know, with downtime as far as what your crew can do, or tables of random events that can occur. So it's just a really interesting rule set. It's easy to set up. You can play it in basically whatever scale you want. And it's got a lot going for it. It really does. And there are expansions out for it too that continue to, you know, expand it. So the scope of it can be as big or as small as you'd like. So I guess that's my first one. My second one is actually not being actively supported anymore, unfortunately, but it's the X-Wing miniatures game that Fantasy Flight had initially put out, and then it got transferred to AMG, and then it died a slow painful and drawn out death. But, you know, X-Wing was the first game that I got really, really, I wouldn't say competitive, but I played it very regularly with a group here in town and just had a really great time, made a lot of friends and just really enjoyed my time with that game and with those folks. So I think really fondly of it when I look back in the time I spent with it. But it's also one of those games that it's really just very easy to teach new people, especially if you don't play with, you know, a lot of the special abilities and equipment and all that kind of stuff that comes with more competitive play. You know, if you slap down a couple generic pilots and, you know, a Luke Skywalker or something and just throw down with some friends, it actually works really well. It plays really smoothly and it plays quickly. So that's the other one that I always find myself either getting back to the table or really trying to get back to the table just because I feel comfortable with it and it just has a lot going for it. So thanks for the question. This is a great question. I'm really looking forward to hearing what other folks have to say and what other people's favorite games are. And yeah, thanks, Matthew.
Good morning, Matthew. This is Rob Dean from the Discord. This question turned out to be a bit harder to answer than I had expected because of the length of time I've been in this hobby. It would be hard for a newer set of rules to compete with things that I've been playing for 30 years. Over that long term, I have to say that my two favorite sets of rules are Charge, by Young and Lawford, originally published in 1967, and which I've been playing since 1995, which we use with our 40mm Imaginations troops, and Hordes of the Things, which I've been using with my fantasy collections in three scales since it was first published in 1991. I'll mention two runners-up. In more recent years, I've played a lot of Dragon Rampant with the fantasy figures, and more recently, my son Norman has been a proponent of the historical version of Hordes of the Things, DBA, so we've played quite a lot of the third edition recently. I also played the earlier version alongside Hordes over the years, just not as often as Hordes of the Things. This isn't to say that there aren't some interesting new games out there, but those are the ones that I keep coming back to.
Hello, Matthew. This is Carl Paulson of Chicago Skirmish War Games. Great question. As it happens, I have a stable of games that I keep coming back to year after year, game after game, games I really love. And just at the outset, I'll say that my preference is for games that play quickly and are easy to learn. So for science fiction, when I want a squad battle that is quick and cinematic and engaging, I'm going to lean into Space Weirdos. I think it does a great job. It's fairly abstract, but has enough special rules to make it interesting. It has a really cool, it's called the Under Fire tables or Under Attack tables that are almost like reaction tables. And it has really interesting dice mechanics and all moves quite quickly. When I want a big battle, it's Grimdark Future every time. I love to put, you know, a legion of miniatures on a space roughly the size of a football field and just let them go at it, kill each other. So Grimdark Future is great, very flexible, a lot of fun, lets me use all those great 40K miniatures without having to spend many, many hours and many, many rule books. For mech combat, I'm a big fan of Mechatech. It's a indie system that has everything you like about Battletech, but distilled down into a much streamlined form. It's customizable. I've been running it at conventions for years. It's a great game. And then when I want to play larger battles, because Mechatech is hard to play with above, say, 5 to 8 units per side, then I'll go to Alpha Strike, which is probably the best thing that Catalyst Games has ever done. Big mech battles, super fun. Now, fantasy games. I want to put out there when I want to quick skirmish, Song of Blades and Heroes. Excellent campaign system, fun gambling type activation mechanic that keeps everything interesting. We've been playing that for a decade and a half now. Ton of fun, very flexible, easy to play, easy to stat up. So that's for warband size. For a big loose order battle, I'm going to go with One Page Rules, Age of Fantasy. If you're familiar with One Page Rules, it's just like Grimdark Future. It's almost the exact same game. Technically, they're compatible, I believe. Super fast, tons of figures running around the board, slaughtering each other. great fun. Also, you should note that the Grimdark Future and Age of Fantasy army builders are probably the best out there. They are incredibly easy to use, make it really quick to get your figures statted on the board. For rank and flank, I'm going to lean into Kings of War. I think it's still a great game. It's fun. It's fairly fast. It does what it needs to do quite quickly and abstractly. I'm looking also at, but also toying with Age of Fantasy regiments, but for now, Kings of War still takes the cake. So that's most of the games that I really enjoy playing. We've dabbled in things like Conflict 47 is also fun, but I want to make two honorable mentions. If you want to play old school, old style Games Workshop gaming, and you don't want it to take all day, I cannot recommend highly enough Mordheim and Necromunda. They are excellent games. They are possibly the best distillation of late 90s Games Workshop mechanics. They're both quite fast, actually. Games that take usually less than an hour complete. They have amazing campaign settings, fantastic bank campaign mechanics for growing your warband over the course of a campaign. And if you want that old school experience, but not to spend a million hours, you know, trying to play out a game like whatever edition of Warhammer 40K or Fantasy Battles you're into, Mordheim and Necromunda stand the test of time. Doesn't hurt also that they're completely free and there is mountains of free official and unofficial materials to go with. So sorry for going so long. Those are the staple of games that I keep coming back to year after year, game after game. Looking forward to hearing what everybody else has to suggest. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, everyone. Jamie from Worcestershire in England. The rule set I will always find myself going back to, it's got to be Warhammer 40K. I just absolutely love the relentless stream of books and data cards that are usually out of date or errated before they even arrive at my doorstep. The massive volumes of hardback books that are usually not worth anything 2 years later. Oh, I just can't get enough of it, really. Anyway, catch you all later. Bye.
One final note. This is Carl again. The Necromunda I was speaking of is the original Necromunda as ruled as modified by Yak Tribe into the Necromunda Community Edition. Just want to specify that. Necromunda Community Edition streamlines a few minor points of rules here and there, clarifies a few things, tweaks some charts. Basically, it's all subtle things you might not even notice, but makes the game play a lot better, balance a lot better. It was playtested over almost a decade before they tweaked it to the where it is now. I am not recommending the modern Necromunda, which if you're into the current Games Workshop book buying carousel, I'm sure it has, I've been told it has great fluff and great background, but it's very much, that's more of a own 12 books to play one game kind of thing, as opposed to original Necromunda as done by the Necromunda Community Edition, which is very much a one book will get you everything you need to do. So original Necromunda via the Necromunda Community Edition from Yak Tribe is the one I recommend. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. Jamie here, speaking again from Worcestershire, England. A serious answer this time, not sarcastic. I expect a large part of my answer is going to be shared by a lot of people in Discord, I think. Some games that I will always go back to include Space Hulk. I've got a fully painted set of the third edition, and I just love how self-contained it is. The rules are pretty damn clear, and it makes for a great two-player game. I think its only real downside is that it requires a little bit of a wider table, or can, in some missions, require a bit of a wider table than many people, including myself, have got. I've only got a just shy of 3-foot wide table. Otherwise, excellent game. Other games include Joe McCulloch's sort of library of games, primarily Frostgrave and Rangers of Shadow Deep. I just love how all of his games seem to share the same ethoses in games that I like. And they're really like a big toolbox of possibilities, basically. I've only got about half the expansions, but I'm slowly collecting them all. And one day I hope to play Rangers with the kids, especially. And finally, the other game slash genre I'll probably find myself returning to for a very long time is HeroQuest slash Warhammer Quest slash Dungeon Crawler fun. I just love the simple adventure format of those sorts of games. You can sort of create really small but fun stories. And again, something I hope to encourage gently the kids into playing, which has kind of already started with Core Quest. We're 6 missions out of the 10, I believe it is, or maybe 11 in the box. And it's just been really great fun. They just end up creating little tales, and there's lots of silliness and laughter. And we're not all just sat watching the telly, basically, which is, in my book, a pretty good thing. So anyway, there's nothing for anyone to follow me on, really. But if there is anyone out in Worcester who's looking for a game club, we last year started a new club called Worcester War Room. We don't have a Facebook page or anything, but we do have a Discord. So if you sort of hit me up on the Bedroom Battlefields Discord, I'm Voltamans. And if you're interested in playing with non-competitive, silly, middle-aged men on an evening and having a laugh and maybe a beer or two, then think about getting in touch. Anyway, thanks for, like everyone says, thanks for the podcast. It's always a really good listen. Thanks, Matthew. Bye.
Cryo Volcano, a solo scenario that could be played with any sci-fi skirmish rule set and miniatures, is now available on the Bedroom Battlefields Patreon. It was originally published in Miniature Wargames magazine, and you'll now find everything you need to play it, along with a whole host of additional bonus content, over at patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. That's patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. And now, back to the show.
Hi Matthew, it's Mark here. I want to nominate as my favourite rule system a set of rules, or a kind of family of set of rules really. That's the Daniel Mersey Rampant series of rules. So Lion Rampant, Dragon Rampant, Xenos Rampant, The Pikeman's Lament, which is a 17th century adaptation of that. Rebels and Patriots, which are 19th century, largely American adaptation. And The Men Who Would Be Kings, which is a colonial style adaptation of it. So all those sets of rules all have lots of shared elements. They vary a bit from one to another, but kind of at their core is this simple approach that really is very flexible. I find it works well. It's locked into my brain now, so that's a big advantage. And it means I can play those games with new people who haven't played war games before. You can play games remotely. You can play games with a really strong narrative, scenario-driven structure. And it just works. The kind of plug-and-play nature of the different bits from the different rule sets as well. I found I can port across one thing from one setting to another and with no real problems. So for me, they really are the ideal kind of plug-and-play sandbox system of rules. I know they don't do everything, and sometimes you kind of need to add a bit more. And if you wanted to use them for great big battles, you'd need to think about how that was going to work. If you wanted to use them for really, really small skirmish with fine detail, you could add in extra bits. But overall, they do kind of what I want them to do. And I think they're a great set of rules. They're well written and they're clear. There are some anomalies and some bits and bobs that seem confusing, as there are in most rule systems. But by and large, that comes down to sometimes it's quite hard to actually write down in words something that's easier to describe in action. So, you know, there's some good online resources, whether that's YouTube videos showing how things work or quick reference guides. But I'd say if you've got any doubts about them, whether they're right for you, have a go at them. There's a big reputational thing as well that people say they don't like about the fact that there's a sort of turnover system similar to in Blood Bowl, where if you don't get to activate a unit in some of the rules sets, that's your turnover. In others, there's a kind of different approach where it means that unit can't activate, but the next one can. But either way, the turns rattle through at a great pace. So you're never waiting long anyway. I think with multiplayer games, you'd need to kind of approach that. And I know people have talked about that on the Discord with ideas about how to do that. But overall, you know, for all their faults, which, you know, there are a few bits and bobs that probably aren't your cup of tea, you can just house rule it out. Use it as your own system. You put the rules. There's very much that attitude of, you know, they're yours, use them how you want to. And you can do some really good stuff with them. So I've not yet found a situation where I couldn't use that set of rules for whatever I'm trying to achieve on the whole. So overall, big thumbs up from me. The Rampant Rules, Daniel Mersey. Great stuff. See you later.
Hello, Matthew and Bedroom Battlefields community. This is Axe Annex from the Bad Internet Friends podcast. Matthew's question for the month is, what games do you find yourself coming back to over and over again? And my top ones are Rangers of Shadowdeep. I love to play it in co-op mode with friends. I love introducing new people to the game. I think it's a great introduction to wargaming in general, because it gives you a nice friendly experience. You're not working against each other, you're working with each other. And the storyline that Joseph McCulloch has written is beautiful. So I think it really captures a lot of people's imaginations. It's pretty much they play it every year with a new group of people. The second game would be 5 Parsecs from Home, because I love procedural generation. And it's a new experience every time you start up a new crew. You roll the dice, see what you end up with, roll out your adventures. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes you get stomped. After a while, you will hit a point where everything becomes a little bit too easy. So you tend to kind of retire that crew and start all over again, which is great joy. The third game I tend to come back to over and over again is because it is so easy to play with other people. And that's any of the one-page rules. They're all basically the same game, just a slightly different flavor. So once you know the rules for one, you pretty much know the rules for all. They have so many different varieties that you can play with. Rank and Flank is our current jam. We call it Rank and or Jank and Flank, which is a lot of fun. I'm bringing out my old undead army from 5th edition Warhammer Fantasy Battles, and I'm facing up against brand new armies. And yeah, everyone has a good time with that one, but you can play the sci-fi versions. You can play the solo versions where you're on a little adventure. There's so many cool things you can do with one-page rules. So that's why it's keeps in rotation, I think, and the game itself is pretty solid. And when it comes to playing games with my kid, typically we'll either play Operation Last Train, which is a great rescue game, so it's also co-op. You could do it solo as well. Joseph McCulloch has only released 3 scenarios, but they're all free. You're just supposed to donate to, I think it's Save the Children, as you rescue civilians. But Especially because kids love being heroes, and you play the real heroes in that game, saving people. And it's a D12 mechanic, so it's very simple. Or no, D10, I believe. Oh, I can't remember. It's actually been a little while since I come back to it. But that one is a great game. It's been moved on. The engine has been moved on to Death Ship 1 as well, which is more of a grueling solo game. I think you can play co-op, but it's not. Not quite the same flavor. You're not rescuing people. You're just trying to survive this nightmare ship. I haven't quite got that one to the table yet, but I am looking forward to it. And the other game that my kid loves to play is either Tanks or World of Tanks, because it's also a very simple game. Especially World of Tanks has bespoke dice, so the results are very easy to see. And it's fun to move little tiny 15mm tanks around and turn the turrets, climb the hills, shoot the people. We also developed a co-op version of that game where you play against a very generic AI of giant toys, insects and dragons and all sorts of critters. And we just roll up some random stats for them, and they march towards the buildings to try to get the people, and we drive in with our tanks to rescue the people. So kind of similar to Operation Last Train that way. And that one's been a lot of fun. And that wraps up my question. I hope this makes for some good filler on your episode. I'm looking forward to hearing everyone else's responses. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Hello, Matthew. It's Ed from Sussex and the Bedroom Battlefields Discord. My go-to games, the games that I return to again and again. My first one that I'll mention, I doubt will be any surprise to anyone who knows me through the Discord. It's Space Widows. Space Widows is a skirmish sci-fi game. It's the game that got me back into tabletop wargaming. It's a cheap $5 zine. It's about 16 pages long. And it is wonderful. It's very flexible. It's fairly simple and straightforward, but with just enough depth that you want to return to it again and again. It's very easy to hack and to tweak and to make it usable for other settings or for custom settings. It's a wonderful little game. I got the opportunity to run a couple of six-player games, one at Bring Out Your Ledge last year, which was great fun. I had six absolute noobs to the game play, IGN them, and we all had a brilliant time. So that's my first sort of go-to game, my go-to skirmish game. I would then say the second game that I return to again and again is Gaslands. Gaslands by Mike Hutchinson. I'm sure many people will be familiar. It's the game where you take toy cars and turn them into Mad Max racers. It's really fun, really creative. You can, you know, literally pick whichever toy car you like the look of, as long as it's around a Matchbox size, Hot Wheel size car. It'll work. And you have fun being creative, making the cars, and then you have fun driving them around and blowing each other up and crashing spectacularly. Very fun game, highly recommend, and one that I return to again and again. And then the third and final game I'm going to mention here is a game that I return to again and again, is one of the very first games I ever played, Warhammer 40K 2nd Edition. It's a game that I went back to again, thanks to Bring Out Your Lead. I had arranged a game with Jason at last year's Bring Out Your Lead, and so I arranged a couple of warm-up games to get used to what the rules felt like again, as I hadn't played it for 20-plus years. It turned out it's still a really fun game. It's very detailed. It can get a bit clunky and slow in places if the size of the game gets too big. But if you're playing sort of 750 to 1250 points, it's pretty quick moving. It's really fun. I would highly recommend anyone who did play it as a child to go back to it, because it's totally still stands up as a fun game. And anyone who's really sick or modern 40K might be worth checking out, or one of the other older editions of 40K. These were games that were created to be narrative driven, the earlier editions. And so if you're a narrative gamer, they're perfect, because that's what they're designed to do. They're designed to help players have a fun game with some cool narrative moments. So those are my three games that I return to again and again. I'm looking forward to hearing what others say. I'm sure there's one or two games in there that I'm expecting, and hopefully one or two that I'm not. Anyway, have a lovely day. Good to speak to you. Cheers.
Hello, everyone. Callum, aka Dr. Spork here. I'll be brief this month. As you know, I tend to spend more time at my desk painting and modelling than at the gaming table. But there is one game I keep coming back to, and I suspect it will be a popular one this episode. Space Widows. I enjoy quite a lot about it. It's easy to learn and to teach to others. It's got just enough crunch to give tactical choices, but not so much that you forget things that you want to do. The rulebook is only 16 pages long, and it costs less than £4. But most of all, I enjoy its adaptability. Miniature agnostic games are great for me, as I tend to make the miniatures before worrying too much about how they will play on the battlefield. And with Space Weirdos, I grab a handful of miniatures, and in 5 minutes, have a set of stats for a warband. Great. Like electricity, so many of us like to follow the path of least resistance. And for me, that's Space Weirdos. Oh, no plans for a couple of hours? Let's grab some miniatures and have a quick game. No further planning required. Great. Anyway, I look forward to hearing everybody else's answers, as always. And thank you once again, Matthew, for the podcast. I'm off to paint up some friends for Jeff, who hopefully we'll get to meet soon. And if anyone is interested, you can find me as Dr. Spork on Blue Sky and Mastodon, or for any 3D printers out there, look me up on Cults3D or My Mini Factory. Cheers.
All right, then, at the start of the episode, I kind of teased this. We got a response in that was pretty different from the usual responses, all of which are very good, obviously, but this kind of takes it all to the next level. So, yeah, take it away, Dave.
Hi, it's Dave here. And this one is an ode to my favourite game. Were you there in 1995 in the blood-soaked Scumnik Underhive, where metal minis went to war amidst plastic bulkheads and cardstock floors with Andy, Rick, and Jarvis too, the greatest tabletop skirmish crew? Is it Burrows and Badgers or Blood and Plunder? No, of course it's not. It's Necromunda. Were you sneaking with the baldy ones, or the leaping big-wigged Amazons? Were you muscular, or technical, or leaning toward the spiritual? Or, if vanilla's not your taste, a nomad gang from the Ashen Wastes? Or the Ratskins, or some snooty spires? Redemptionists, always starting fires? Or the zombie mutant scavvy scum? There's something there for everyone. Did you spend your precious 1k creds on heavy weapons and grenades? Or to kit out gangers and juves in hordes? Or a beastmaster with millisaurs? A pit slave? Or some hired scum? Or a bounty hunter with a hotshot lasgun? Did you craft the perfect roster sheet? The gang that's feared? The one to beat? Was your leader in the bolter sights when they rolled to hit but rolled a 6, and the ammo roll is what you hope for? No more bolts from that old bolter. And though you took a strength 4 hit, it doesn't wound. You're only pinned. You duck 2 inches into cover. They're closer now. They've got you outnumbered. 2 pistol shots within close range, but both roll 1s. You're saved again. And now your leader's time to shine. 3-on-1. Those odds are fine. A frag grenade will sort them out. Fire in the hole, your gleeful shout. You make the toss, but it scatters back. Of all the lousy, rotten luck, the template lands right on your head. And just like that, your leader's dead. You bottle it. You lose the game. Your gangers hang their heads in shame. But then comes income. Upgrades. Trade. We're selling all these frag grenades. A chance to buy a power sword at a price that I might afford. New combat skills to show them how. Who's laughing at my leader now? We'll earn respect. We'll beat the odds. The underestimated underdogs. The laughing stock. Oh, no, no more. We'll more than even up the score. We'll raid their bases, scrag and kill. We'll trash that precious water still. Until our gang sheet groans beneath the weight of skills and injuries. And yes, I know it wasn't perfect. And re-released, they went and nerfed it. That anti-Midas G-dub touch that turns a golden game to rust. And though the new minis were kind of cool, I'm sticking with the living rules. So that's the only game I'm after, with all that crazy campaign banter. Of all the games before and since, it sets the bar for excellence. It's Necromunda, standing tall, a spire that towers above them all.
Well, what about that? don't worry, nobody's going to have to follow that up next month with a poem or a song, although you can if you want to. But I appreciate, as ever, everyone who took the time to send their clips in. Another really enjoyable episode to listen back through. And yeah, we'll focus now on the question of the month for June of 2025. So, I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of time capsules, but it's basically, you know, you get a big box, a big sort of metal box, something that won't degrade in the ground, and you fill it up with stuff. You know, I think we did one when we were at primary school, so I think it was just basically whatever year that might have been, it was like typical items and maybe stuff from the classroom, and we just put it all in this box, dug a hole and buried it. And, you know, I don't know if that box has ever been dug up yet, but I imagine it has been, or it will at some point. But I think this is quite a common practice in various circles. You know, we create a little time capsule, a little moment in time, a little snapshot of how things are, put them in a box, bury them, and a future generation could dig them up and have a good old laugh at them. So, if we were collaboratively putting together a hobby time capsule, we've got this big indestructible box to fill. What sort of things are you going to actually want to put in there? So this could be anything from your favourite miniature or a set of miniatures, rule sets, books, a particular magazine edition. You could have a diorama in there, even a pot of paint. You know, you could put anything in there that you want that represents what the hobby means to you. You could put as little or as much in there as you like as well. This box could be as big as we want. It's not me that's digging the hole. So happy to have as much in there as we could pack in. And you could help fill it by going to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail and send in your clip before Friday, the 27th of June. That's bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail. What would you put in a hobby time capsule? Alright, that's just about it for this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Thanks as always for listening, and thanks if you submitted a clip as well. Always really appreciate those. And remember, there's the Discord community too, bedroombattlefields.com/Discord. It'd be brilliant to see you in there.